Hello, friends. We have an incredible second hour lined up on Out of This World Radio. This is Ted Marr broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle here in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make the earth much better place. During the first hour, I interviewed a wonderful gentleman named Matias Gustavo Di Stefano, who's still on Skype with us, coming to us live from where he is in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And Matias is a very special gentleman who has vivid, live, accurate memories of his life in Atlantis. And we this second hour we'll be talking about the ascension of the planet, and how we can all make this planet a better place. And one of the valuable things that Matias was talking about during the last hour are the mistakes, are the things that we could learn from the Atlantean experience, which destroyed itself 12,500 years ago. The other thing, too, and I know that's this is true of many souls currently on this planet, they were alive during Atlantis. Now they've reincarnated during this time as well, the purpose is for them not to repeat the mistakes that they did 12,500 years ago, but instead bring those lessons forward to the present time and create a beautiful, bright future and a beautiful planet, not only for ourselves and our children and our children's children. So we have a wonderful, we have Carolyn Kaufman here. And also on the line, we have kind of a full house today. We have Carolyn White. Now, she's a fantastic psychic and a wonderful aura reader. She lives in Olympia, Washington. She's been to my Galactic Conference before, and she'll be coming again to my Galactic Conference in March of 2017 here in Olympia. For more information, you can go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. But this second hour should be an incredible piece segment, because we'll all be talking about the ascension of the planet and how to make make the world a better place. And with that, I'd like to bring on Carolyn for just a few minutes to introduce yourself. We'll go back to Matias, and then we'll have some questions for everyone. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah, hello. Thank you so much for having me on today. My name is Carolyn Kaufman. I'm an intuitive. I've been doing this work for about almost 20 years, which is funny to say sometimes. Spirit led me on a path from being sick to going into alternative healing, and it led me from one thing to another. And I've just been given myself over to Spirit to be used as a vehicle in whatever they ask me to share for the last 20 years. And that's what I've been doing. And I'm really excited to be to call myself part of the transition team, is how I look at it, for this world at this time.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you used to live in the Los Angeles area, Orange County, where you participated in bringing Dr. Moto and helped with his lectures in 2009 and 2010.
Yes, I was part of the live event H2O. It was a global event that we did for we all came around bodies of water and prayed to bring positive thoughts and healing to our water throughout the planet. And we were lucky enough to and blessed enough to have Dr. Emoto at our event in Long Beach. And it was quite an incredible and magical experience, really.
Well, one of the things I'll be asking Matias about here during this segment is that he's told me before that water has memory, and it was used during Atlantean times to store information. And one of the things that Nostradamus has told me as well is that our computers in the future will be organic, and they will use water as a base to store memory. So it fits in with Dr. Emoto's research and the research of his office in Tokyo, which is just fascinating, just fascinating. Also, too, I want to acknowledge Carolyn, the other Carolyn. Carolyn White, are you there?
I'm here. Good afternoon, and warm blessings and love to everyone out there on this. It's a beautiful day because we're all here together. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I wanted to add with the teachings from Atlantis is that what I call my non-corporeal spiritual mentor, whose name is Matias.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes. Well, we're all interconnected. Even the other Carolyn here and I have an interesting story how we got back together. But one of the things that my spiritual mentor has told me, and I found this through going to the ocean, just sitting by listening to the waves roar, the ocean and water on this earth contains every single emotion, feeling, event that has happened since this planet's birth.
That's so incredible.
The wisdom of our world, our planet, is contained within the water. And what is happening, because there's been so much concern about the quality and the state of our water, when we pollute it not only with chemicals, oil spills, in this, that it damages that memory and how, and changes the vibration of the earth, also our words and our thoughts, especially our thoughts, and our emotions, because emotions are energy in motion, that also impacts the water. And as Dr. Emoto and many others have said, our bodies are 70% water.
Well,
so think about that water, the ocean, the memories. That's why a lot of people find it so relaxing to just go and sit by the seashore.
That's right.
And listen, just be present.
That is such a beautiful comment. Thank you, Carolyn, mm-hmm. for sharing that. And Matthias, I'd like to bring you in now. Hi there, my friend. I know that we've talked before. You've spoken about how when people try to look for vestiges of Atlantis currently on the planet, you're not going to find any writing because water was used to store information, and people would sing to the water to store information. Could you please tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yeah. At that time, well, we had writings. We have a system of writing, talking, and all that. But at that time, the people knew that water had the very pure energy and the very pure information, because we realized at that time that water is the biggest being alive in the whole universe, and it's so big that you cannot hold it in just one planet. That's why it's everywhere, in asteroids and comets and other planets. It's only one body, and we are the extension of the conscious, the thinking of that body evolving. So life is just an expression of the water. And all the information from the very beginning is within the experience and wisdom of the water. So that's why it's geometry, it's all the patterns that creates contains the information from the very beginning. And it's like a big library. It's a big DNA. So that's why in Atlantean times, they use water to sing the information. They put some water in some basins and some pyramids and some temples, and they, with the geometry of the construction, they impressed into the water the geometry of information that they wanted to hold during the whole time. So they brought water from one place to another one, or they built places exactly the same around the world. So when you put that water inside one geometry, it replicates exactly. It's like a copy in the other places in the planet that is the same. So that's how they could bring information from one part to another in the planet, by building exactly the same places. Computers.
I have to ask you this question, Matthias, and I wanted to ask this similar question to both Carolyns, actually. Let's say there was a nuclear accident during the time of Atlantis, and like Fukushima today. Mm-hmm. How would the Atlanteans have cleaned that up? Through singing? Through prayer? How would they clean it up?
Well, singing would be the better way.
Okay.
Because you change the pattern of the geometry.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful.
It's all about changing the vibration.
Perfect.
And that's done, yes, it's done by music and sound. Mm. And also, again, by our thoughts, our what we're thinking, if we're thinking at the higher vibration level of, it's like looking at spilled milk, and it, you can say, oh, no, the floor is getting dirty, or you can say, oh, the cat's licking it up. So it's having that positive, very healing vibration come forth. And a lot of that was done in, like, Lemuria and Atlantis with sound, with that a beautiful vibration of the human voice, and also crystals making the crystals resonating the sound as well.
What a beautiful thought. Thank you so much for sharing that, Carolyn. I know that Dr. Emoto, before he passed away, did an experiment at a nuclear reactor some years ago, and he took a bottle of radioactive water, and he wrote the words love and gratitude on the water with a love and gratitude water crystal, and within 48 hours, the vibration of the water in that bottle had risen sufficiently so all the radiation disappeared, and the water was drinkable. So it does work. It absolutely does work. And with that, you know, and with that, Carolyn, the other Carolyn, Carolyn Kaufman here in the studio, you have a wonderful voice, and I'm sure you're able to do lots of healing just with your voice. But I'd love your comments, too, on this.
Sure. I agree with everything that they're saying, too. And I feel like we're just getting to a point in our society, in our world now, where we're starting to realize how powerful our whole being is, our essence, our thoughts, our speaking. And they were at a point where they were using that, all mm-hmm. aspects of it. And mm-hmm. just sometimes knowing that you have that power, mm-hmm. that also promotes and brings about the healing. And it's just learning to harness and balance all of that. And I feel like that's where we're coming to the times where they were kind of leaving off, and mm-hmm. we're coming up to that same
realization. Space.
Yeah, realization, and also mm-hmm. challenge within ourselves to balance that and find out, now, what do we do with this newfound, knowingness of our own abilities and our own power? And it is through, when you're talking about Dr. Emoto's work, we did a lot of experiments with my children's program. We had an Observing Me station, and we did experiments. We couldn't do the rice because it was a longer period, but we'd only have people for a couple hours. So we did it with water, mm-hmm. little cups of water with chips. Mm-hmm. And the most amazing one with, if you want to see it immediately, the power of your words, mm-hmm. Is with rose petals. You would take a rose petal and split it in half and put it on two pieces of, like, bakery paper or napkin even, and write positive words on one and negative words on the other, and then say the words to the rose petal, and you see it immediately. The rose petal that we would share the negative words to would immediately curl up, turn brown, and the other one would stay the same.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. That is incredible.
Yeah.
Well, what a beautiful example. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. And Matthias, I know you probably have at least 5 or 6 hours to say about that. I'd love to bring you back on and get your comments too. So,
yeah, I don't speak unless you ask.
No, that's fine, my friend. Please go right ahead.
Okay. In ancient times, today some people used to call them like this too, but. Doctors, medicine people were called alchemists.
Mm-hmm.
And the hospitals we had in that time, they were places where a lot of women were taught how to sing. So they were like schools of music. The music and the hospitals were exactly the same. People that got ill, they were to those places, and they spend a long time with women, especially women, that were singing to the body, but not to heal. It was just to listen the vibration of the body,
mm-hmm.
because they understood that every illness, every sick, is the body speaking, because they need something.
Oh,
the body needs. So
interesting.
So they sing to the body, not to heal, but to listen the needs that the body had.
Mm-hmm.
So according to that, they were looking for the plants, the minerals, the food, and they mixed everything, and they sing a new song that put in the same frequency the need and the tool for that need. Mm. So it was like alchemy, mm-hmm. for healing, but they always used singing. That's why in the ancient times, every temple was used for singing. Every structure they built was for the better sound inside. That's why when you get inside a pyramid, you could hear yourself in such a way you would never do. You know, the sound is so special.
Isn't that?
And that's because the whole technology we had at that time, 12,000 years ago, was based on sound.
Wow.
Because sound is the base, the frequency is the base of the universe. So that's why we used the sound to heal, the sound to build, the sound for communicate. Everything was about sound and water, sound and water.
Wow, that's amazing. One of the things that I read in a book by Dolores Cannon some years ago, she was a famous psychic until she passed away back in 2014, was that in Egypt, they actually constructed the pyramids through sound. They would have a circle of people saying a certain sound, and that sound was able to levitate these rocks, which weighed tons, very heavy, and also cut them as well. Completely, their thoughts and the sound and their intent from the fifth dimension altered the physical structure of these rocks in the third dimension, which is amazing. One of the things that I'm told that Edgar Cayce wrote about was that the records of Atlantis are actually beneath, it's either the left or the right, I think it's the left paw of the Sphinx, and it's encased in this rock. And when society, Mr. Cayce said that when society evolves to the point where they can interpret, they get this, they're able to sing and also to create and open up these rocks with their thoughts and singing, then that information will be revealed and not be before them.
Yes. Yes, it will be like this.
And Carolyn White, go ahead, my friend.
Oh, this is very, very fascinating. There's so many anecdotes that correlate with what Matthias was saying about the singing. I worked with a massage therapist at one point in her life. She was working with cancer patients doing massage. And she found there were a couple of the older gentlemen that just working on their lymph nodes. She just couldn't get things going.
Mm-hmm.
So she decided that one day she started humming. She started humming and making sound.
Mm-hmm.
And the body, she said, that was responding so much better to her that she had a great result with especially these elder women and men who had cancer and they were in their last stages. And she said it had such a healing effect. And she also felt that their muscles were relaxing better, that they just got so much more benefit from it. So sound is very powerful. And I think probably one of the most transformative experiences that I had probably about 30 years ago was in a room with 40 people doing chanting and Sanskrit, the original Sanskrit, and we were bringing in all sorts of angels and beings. It was magical. It was so healing. So sound, like Om, is the word that created the universe. So I think sound and water, sound responds to water. Water carries the message. It's all about that vibration. That vibration that is so important to help us with the ascension of this planet is having that positive vibration, those beautiful sounds. The last, the final chord, just one more thing here, the final chord of the Hallelujah Chorus by Handel, when it is played, it creates a beautiful five-pointed star.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Carolyn, so much for sharing that, Well, another question I want to ask everyone, I'd like to start with you, Carolyn Kaufman, is how can we as individuals help the ascension process on this planet? People ask me that all the time, but I'd love your opinion.
You know, that's something that I've been asking for many years, too. And the before, I used to always try to run out and learn all these things and practice all, you know, everything I was learning, which I still embody all of it. But the simplest answer I've been getting the last couple of years is really bring it within. Mm-hmm. Work on yourself, on balancing your own shadows. And if we haven't noticed, that's what's happening in our world right now is, you know, all the energy that's pouring through the planet is pushing out our vibrations that are deep within us that are imbalanced or the fears that we have not looked at. Mm-hmm. And so the best thing we can do is start being a really good observer of ourself, of everything that we're doing every day, everything that we're thinking, that we're saying, and recognizing the old mistakes and thinking, what I call them, patterns that we've learned, and start to shift them and start to, without judgment, but embrace them and to start making changes, you know, being more loving to yourself, being more loving with your family. Notice when you're upset, what is it really telling you? You know, are you following your heart? And ultimately, it is coming back to your heart, following, you know, what you're here to do, which will lead you to your role and your piece of the puzzle. And when we do that, the magnitude of that ripple is huge for our Earth right now. And if you imagine everybody doing that together, all of a sudden there's no more fighting and war, because now everybody's in a peace with themselves. And now we're working together, because when we're in sync with ourselves, we naturally are in line with the vibration and the flow of, you know, the universal energy. And we're all connected there. And then we can work together.
That's beautiful. Mahatma Gandhi just came in. I've been talking to him for the past year. And he said, this is a famous quote. He wanted me to share this with everyone. Be the change that you want to see in the world. In other words, start with yourself. Don't look from top down. Look
Definitely.
From the bottom up, from yourself. And
yeah.
Matthias, I wanted to ask you this question. You mentioned during the last hour, we were discussing the, you know, how Atlantis imploded itself about 12,500 years ago. And how I think there's a collective memory of humanity on this planet, and I don't think we've really never recovered fully from that. And the fear and the disharmony and the fighting that we have on this planet, I think is maybe a holdover from that time period.
Yeah, I couldn't listen very well to your question.
Oh, okay. What I was thinking is a lot of the disharmony and the fighting and the fear that we have here on the planet now is actually a remnant of when Atlantis destroyed itself 12,500 years ago. And I don't think we've never really healed from that. So this is a time of healing, too, for ourselves and the planet.
Yeah, it is. It is. The healing of the planet is very easy, really. Mm-hmm. But we make it complicated because we want to learn much more. Mm-hmm. So,
sure.
This is like the planet Earth is like a big school. We always knew that, but Atlantis wanted it to be like a university. But you can't go to the university if you don't learn basic things like surviving. You know, so that's why we returned to the school, and. As a school, we have to learn very basic things, and we made a lot of mistakes because mistakes helps us to learn much more. So Atlantis was the beginning of our society. There was other civilizations before, like Lemuria, like Mu, other civilizations, but they weren't much humans. So Atlantis was the first human race in the face, the first human society. So we are the result of that society that was trying to learn about themselves. So I guess that today, everything we see around, we should not see it like only a present, but also like the past, the present, and the future, all at the same moment. Yeah, we don't have to go back in time to see the possibilities we had before and we have now for transform ourselves. And it doesn't matter the technology you have, doesn't matter how evolved you are as a society, doesn't matter if you are Atlantean, if you are Lemurian, if you are now Argentinian, you are American, it doesn't matter from which society you are. When you see the whole history from the very beginning to the future, you will realize that the problems that humanity have are all the same in the past, in the future, and the present. And all the problems are within. All the problems are from the perspective we have from reality, that we believe we are separated from everyone, that right. we create more problems than we really have.
Right.
And that we can make it more simple. When you talk about ascension of the planet, they try to do it by going outside the planet, by using the strength from within the planet, creating a big network of knowledge to rise the planet to the fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm.
But they forgot to enjoy the third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main path you have to take to go to the fifth and seventh dimension. You cannot reach higher dimensions without joy. So if you work hard and you don't enjoy what you are doing, so you are not going to reach the fifth and not even the fourth dimension.
Sure.
Because going through dimensions, it means to change the frequency. And if you go high in dimensions, you have to make your frequency higher.
Sure.
So
in other words, Matthias, wake up and smell the coffee or smell the roses.
So. Yep. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And just one thing that some people from the seventh dimension used to tell me when I was a kid, they said there are three tools that every human have to know to enlighten itself and to enlighten the whole planet. Mm. But they are so simple that you decided to make it complicated.
Oh, isn't that funny?
So the first one is to eat properly,
mm-hmm.
which is very difficult in this society.
Right.
Eat properly means eat more light, which is fruits and seeds, because it will enlighten your blood. And your blood will enlighten with the DNA and awake your potential.
Hmm.
The second thing is to breathe properly. To breathe properly helps you to enlighten also within and the emotions to establish a balance in your emotions by breathing deeply. And the third one, and the most important, is to high your level of frequency, which the only way you can do so is by laughing. So they used to say you have to laugh too much. Laugh, no love, laugh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of my mentors, he's had on the program, Ted Shelley Stockwell Nicholas. One of the things she called the seventh chakra the crown chakra. And the thing is that laughter is one of the best, if you want to use the term, weapon to break up the denser energies. Love, light, and laughter. And I think that is just so, so important. Is a lot of times in this third dimensional world, we take ourselves too seriously. Like you said, Thais, that think it's very, life is very simple. There's a few very simple rules. We like to make things collectively complicated, and it's stepping back from that and realizing that it is just, it's simply, it's, you know, be of service to others,
mm-hmm.
and to love yourself and to have fun. And when you have fun and joy and laughter, then that makes the whole place, it's like that's what an enlightenment is. It's making your light body lighter and of a higher vibration.
Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful, profound comments. Thank you so much, Carolyn and Matthias. Those are such powerful words. And I don't want to forget about Carolyn Kaufman here in the studio. Carolyn, I'd love your...
Sure, yeah, I'd love to, you know, add for those who are listening, you're probably thinking, yeah, well, how do I get from here to there? Mm-hmm. And again, when I first started on this path, it was, I always thought it had to be so serious, and there were so many things and steps I had to take. And now I realize, again, going back to that simplicity, it's just making a choice. And it's starting out every day, maybe take today or tomorrow and start the morning with gratitude is the number one tool that I find so significant. And then surrender myself. I do prayers. You just set the intention, whoever it is that you reach out to, the divine design, God, you know, the angels, beings, and just ask for the assistance to just be used as a vehicle to be help you to be the observer and breathe. I also agree breathing is so important because it helps us stay in the moment, and that's where we can take these steps is when we're in the moment and just breathing and doing these different tools, grounding our energy. It helps us to be present with everything that's happening. Then we can enjoy smelling the roses or enjoy your coffee or the people that are around you. And when you're in that moment, all of a sudden you realize that you're really okay. It's when we get out of that moment that we start to stress and we forget and we get caught up in the drama of our everyday life. And before you know it, you're running that rat race and we're stressed out. Your physical body starts to show it. And all you have to do is stop, breathe, come back, and allow your heart to guide you. And the amazing thing is it will. And it's just having the courage to walk through the fears. And again, being in the moment and gratitude, I have found have been big keys in taking those steps. And start in the morning and do your prayers and then ask what feels good today. What choice can I make? And instead of doing something out of obligation or, you know, making these different choices, you can feel what is in alignment with your heart, what brings you joy to do. And then that just, it starts there and it starts rolling. And then you do the next step, the next moment. And before you know it, you've made these changes. And then it starts to reflect in your reality of your life, your everyday life.
Matthias, I have to ask you this question. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good, good. Do you remember when you were living in Atlantis? How did you start your day? Did you start your day like Carolyn here suggested, where you meditated and asked God what's the best and highest good for myself and started laughing as well?
Yeah, when we were kids, we were told all the time about death. Yeah, the old people, the teachers were speaking about, one of the first things they said to us when we were born was, welcome to life. This is your new path towards death. So it was every day, it was like a dying day. So every morning, it was like a meditation by talking with the others, talking or asking yourself, what would you do if this is your only day on Earth? Yeah,
that's incredible. Wonderful idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would you do? Would you leave something for tomorrow or you would do it today? Mm-hmm. You know? So they used to think like this. So every day was like the first day. We don't used to leave things for the future. We used to do the best we could that same day, and to learn. And there was a tool, a very good tool that you have to learn something every day, even if there's a stupid thing. Uh-huh. But you have to learn something. Uh-huh. You have to I don't know, like eating with the other hand, you know, like if you write with your right hand, try to make some notes with the left hand. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to do all the time something different in order to improve yourself and to allow your spirit to recognize a different way of seeing reality. So, and happiness was one of the first things. So there was a lot of teaching about happiness. There was a lot of teaching about being free from yourself. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of dogma too, but it was not like religion, you know, like religion today. It was more free because the dogma was to prepare yourself to enrich your spirit. It was not to do something. If you do something wrong, you go to hell, you know?
Right.
It was not like this.
Right.
So you all the time, every morning, you have to think something different. You have to practice something different, thinking in happiness. And the school was teaching you how to be happy in your life. So every day was like the only day.
You know, and I think in our educational system, especially for little kids, they ought to have a class beginning in first grade about how to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would be great.
Wouldn't it be? Yes. Followed by second grade of singing.
Well, I would rather that there's not school.
Oh, well, that would be the other. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no school
at
all.
I love that.
Yeah.
I unschool my children.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly a good alternative given the way public education has become.
School,
yeah.
No. Yeah. Actually, the public school system that we have here early in the late 1800s, I don't remember who said it, but the public school system is meant to train people to go to jobs and be punctual and dress nice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where we've evolved from there.
Right.
I think one important thing to that about your day and being present really in the current moment is that if you think about it, any time that you talk to someone, do you leave them with a good, happy, positive impression and energy? A lot of times in our day, we say things, we do things, we interact with people, and they're not that terribly resourceful. There's a lot of feelings of we may create animosity, we may create distrust. And the thing is that if that's the last encounter that you have with that person, and this is the last day of your life, then how is that going to carry forward with your spirit? It's just like quoting Gandhi, and on his when he passed, when he got shot, the last thing that he said was the name of his God. Brahman, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. So if thinking of that, how are we moving through our day? Are we leaving behind a clean wake? Are we leaving behind good energy, good vibrations, positive for our highest good? Or are we leaving behind energy that is messy and not conducive to the benefit of ourselves and our planet? That's really, I think that to me, the paramount question is how we do get to that point of ascension. It's just in little things that we're saying and doing every single moment of our life.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Carolyn, that I love reading Dolores Cannon's book. She was a wonderful psychic. And she said that one of the messages she got from the other side is that life isn't so much a series of big events as it is small things during the day.
Yeah.
For example, you see a homeless person on the street here or a veteran, for example. I give them a little money, or if I don't have any money, I'll give them words of encouragement. Because that little bit of positive energy to someone like that really makes a difference. And and I want to thank you so much for sharing that. That's so beautiful what you said. And
even just smiling. I've found that if you just go through the day with a smile on your face, mm-hmm. and how people all of a sudden, it's like you look at them and smile, and it's like they smile back at you. And it's like giving that little bit of energy, that little bit of light there to them. It doesn't, it doesn't have to be in a material thing. It's just sending out
that's
energy.
Absolutely true, because thoughts are things, and we are powerful spiritual beings meant to co-create with the supreme being who created all of this, a beautiful, loving, benevolent planet, living in harmony.
Exactly.
And with that, I want to bring on Carolyn Kaufman here, not to give you some time. What's your reaction, Carolyn?
Oh, I'm thinking about this. I was laughing because as Carolyn was saying, smiling, I was thinking that too, that how sometimes just walking out down the street and just holding a certain vibration, I noticed for myself, and that it can just, it does share that upliftment and how it changes by smiling, or if I'm in a, you know, a down mood and somebody else, you know, makes me laugh or does something, it makes a big difference. And it really comes back to keeping ourselves in check, working with our own self. And the more balance we find within, if we're unhappy, is figure out what that is and what we need to do. What are we doing that's not in alignment with our heart? Coming back to that. And then when we do that, then when we're going out into the world, we're naturally sending out this positive vibration. And it's amazing how much that can make a difference in our world. That changes. For if you're in a bad mood and you're going out and about or you're stressed, you're putting out that vibration versus if you work out that balance and figure out before you leave the house in the morning that I'm feeling stressed, let me take a minute and stop and breathe and ground, and now I feel better. And now when you go out, your ripple is changing. So all the experiences, the universe just listens to whatever we put out. Mm-hmm. So whatever you're putting out, if you're putting out the positive vibrations in the morning, that's all you're going to get all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to affect every single person you come in contact with, and then it keeps going on and on. So if we can just work and practice, it just takes practice. I found out it's very easy. It just takes the diligence and the desire to practice every day, all day. And I find it very exciting and fun and fascinating because you learn a lot about yourself, about, you know, through the people that you're surrounded with. I found, especially with my children, mm-hmm. I actually unschooled my children. So mm-hmm. I love when you guys were talking about that also. Mm-hmm. It's just coming back to that, we can learn from everything and everyone, and that they're just showing us some reflection of ourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, what we're
mm-hmm.
going through. And so if we take that, you know, the responsibility of ourselves and looking at that, everything can change. Whatever you're looking at in your life right now, if you don't like it, by just shifting your thoughts and coming back within and changing the way you're thinking about it, the way that you talk about, like Carolyn mentioned a little bit ago, that changes it all. And then in the next moments, your whole reality will shift.
Mm-hmm.
And if you continue it, it keeps growing. And remember that the universe doesn't judge or try to decipher what you're putting out. It just gives you more of whatever you're focused on and what you're putting out.
Thank you, Carolyn, for those wonderful words of wisdom. Really, really appreciate that. Matthias, I want to ask you this question. For people who were growing up in Atlantis, like the schooling, did they have schools? What was the schooling system like for kids?
Well, it was like in Greece, like Agras, you know, it was an open place, like a square where mm-hmm. you could go and sit there,
mm-hmm.
unless your parents, everyone was able to go to learn,
uh-huh.
every class, social class, mm-hmm. to any place,
mm-hmm.
but there were some of them that were like pupils, you say in English, like those who learn all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because of your social class, or because the teachers took you because they saw in you some special skills.
Mm-hmm.
So you were taken from your family, and you were like in a school, being prepared for being a politician or being a priest. But that was for a few people that were mm-hmm. picked, you know, up because of the frequency they have,
mm-hmm.
or because they work hard to show the others that they were ready to have that teachings.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them was free school, like it was open, and mm-hmm. and you would go there if you want to,
mm-hmm.
or you just went to work with your parents, or it was very free. The education was very free. It was not a place you have to go by obligation.
And I assume that vaccinations were not mandatory to have children in school back then.
They didn't need vaccinations.
They didn't need vaccinations back then?
Vaccinations, that didn't exist. that's something someone came up with that idea. I don't know who, but it was the wrong idea.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's something that science discovered that is good for in such a way that every evil thing in the universe has within the power to do the good.
Oh yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. Sure. So that's why every vaccine you receive in your life is that illness that would kill you, but they took the part of the kill and they just left the part of the being, so your body could recognize it and say, okay, this would be good, would be bad for me, so I should be prepared. So everything you got inside when you're vaccinating is the bad, is the evil for in such a way.
Sure.
So there's no need to do so because your own body can do it, can recognize it. So I think they just come up with that to control from within population, you know, and I never get vaccinated.
Sure. No, that's... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad for sharing that. A quick question, and then I want to go to the other Carolyns as well. As far as money goes, was money used as a medium of exchange? Because many people, of course, work their whole lives to provide for their families. But and how were necessities like housing and that kind of thing done for people?
Well, it was every government at that time was like a community. So there was like a king, but at that time was the mother. The women were in charge.
Oh.
So yeah. So the government was more a family than something, you know, like warriors or something like that.
Sure.
It was more women. So every new child received like the blessing of a house, like a blessing of food. There was no poor people. Everyone had everything, but everyone had to do something to share with the others. It was like a community. Nobody was living just doing anything. You know, you have to do something for the community and you could receive everything back. But they also invented, they were the inventors of the coin, because they recognized that we put the values in many things, you know, like eating, for example, is a valuable thing, a countable thing. So if you cannot bring a lot of stuff with you on a trip to another village, you could have something that has the same value of that things you have, you know. So they only use it just in special cases, when you were not able to buy something or to have something, when you are traveling or things like that, but only for that cases. It was not for living. Living, it was not a problem for that moment. You know, the having was a coin thing,
beautiful.
But not living. Yeah.
Beautiful. We've got about 6 minutes left, my friends, and I want to give you, to be fair, I want to give Carolyn Kaufman 2 minutes, and then Carolyn White 2 minutes, and then Matthias 2 minutes. And the focus question I wanted to go is, you're welcome to say anything you like on the ascension of the planet and how people can make this planet a better place. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Again, I really encourage everyone to just start taking more time to be conscious and aware of yourself. If you don't know how to make the changes, ask. You can ask your higher self. You can ask the divine design, God. Just thank you for showing me the way. That's all you have to say. And then pay attention and take the steps that you're shown. And it's really much more simple and actually your life becomes way more enjoyable, mm-hmm. And the fun begins. And that's where we're at right now. And we're in very powerful times. And mm-hmm. it's a great time to just be willing to make the change in your life and be open to do something different. You know, if we want different results, like they say, you know, you have to be willing to do something different for them. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to know all the details. And the great thing is I never look for that anymore. I let go and mm-hmm. let it be shown to me. I just put out that I'm ready and I'm willing to take the steps. And then it's amazing what happens. Your practice comes back to being in the moment. And the more you do that, the more will unfold. And it's a really beautiful blessing, the more you choose to do that.
Beautiful, beautiful. And now, Carolyn, I'd love your final thoughts, too.
Remember, all of you that are listening out there, you are powerful, sovereign beings, beings of light. Your thoughts are very powerful. And remember when, and there's been a lot of this going on in this country and around the world, when you think very negative, fear-based thoughts about the other, you're actually feeding them energy. So if you don't want to feed the beast, then be clean about your thoughts. And as Carolyn said, it's just been all these little things, getting to know yourself. Know thyself is so important. And to remember to always ask, is this for my highest good and the highest good of the universe? And keep on that higher, what I call the higher vibe, with your words, with your thoughts, and baby steps every day. It's in the little things. Mm-hmm. And remember to get up in the morning, look yourself in the mirror, and say, you're special. I really love you.
Oh, that's beautiful, Carolyn. Thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate those words. And Matthias, we've got a good, probably 3 minutes now, two and a half, 3 minutes, and I'd love your final comments, too.
I will try to do it in seconds.
Okay. All right.
As I said before, there are three things to help from within to change the whole reality. If you want to change and help the planet change, you have to start within. That was said a long time ago, many times and repeatedly. But it's difficult to know how to begin. So how to begin is bringing light within by mm-hmm. eating fruits and seeds, because photosynthesis bring light to the matter. So mm-hmm. if you eat light, you can become light.
Mm-hmm.
Breathe deeply for emotions,
mm-hmm.
and laugh a lot.
Mm.
That those three tools to enlighten from within, mm-hmm. and then to recognize that fear was a tool for evolution, but now it's not anymore a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to, as Carolyn said, remember. Remember came from the word remember, which means get the members united. The universe is just only one being, and to go through the unity of the universe, we have to remember, put the members together again, to see around the world, to see the cultures, see religions, see science as expressions of the self,
mm-hmm.
not as something that is outside. It's just an expression of something within.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see all this just as an expression of yourself, you just put it back to the core of your heart. And from there, you just take a new look to the universe. And this planet is a school. Don't fear to make mistakes. Mistakes are a part of the learning. So there's no problem on doing something once and again, once and again. The problem is to forget that we are doing it once and again. Yeah. So I dare people just to remember that they are just one being looking into different directions.
Mm-hmm.
So if we all return to the core, we will remember that we all are one and that there is no need to fight outside. the ascension of this planet is not from here to the way up, is from here to the way in. And that's something that we have to remember.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Matthias, for coming on today for 2 hours. You had so many wonderful things to say. And Carolyn Kaufman, thank you so much for coming to the studio and telling us all about your wonderful gifts of helping people. And Carolyn White, thank you, Sue, so much for coming on today. And with this, I'd like to play Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World. Have a beautiful weekend, everyone. Thank you so much for listening.
Trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you.